Future with Finland is a series of podcasts from Invest in Finland, looking at the unique business research and development and innovation landscape in Finland. Invest in Finland is part of Business Finland, the country's official innovation funding, trade, investment and travel promotion organisation. The podcast series will cover a range of subjects from health data, AI, digitalisation, through to smart cities, twin transition and sustainable manufacturing, with a range of internationally focused experts sharing their experiences within the country and explaining how their companies have achieved success there. My name is Roy Meredith, Senior Advisor for Invest in Finland in the UK, and I will be your host for the series. Welcome to this new edition, looking at space and new space economies. Today we'll hear how beneficial new space economy is versus old satellites and the huge difference the sector brings to areas as diverse as natural disasters, mining, maritime and climate change. We hear how low-cost satellite missions are enabling vast change in industries such as insurance, farming, agriculture, meteorology and planning. How new space economy is utilising and driving rapid development in AI, machine learning, analytics, data services and a wealth of new technologies. And how Finland is pioneering genuine collaboration in the new space economy. New space refers to the commercialisation of the space sector as opposed to the traditional or classic space sector, where governmental agencies have held a significant role. In the new space sector, we see a large number of private companies entering the space industry with disruptive business models and, really importantly, seeking to benefit other industries that may not have previously been associated with space. So joining us are Tero Vaurasta, Regional Director of Europe at ICEI. Since ICEI's launch in 2012, Tero has worked alongside and within the company and is currently the Regional Director of Europe. Prior to ICEI, Tero has served as a Naval and Coast Guard officer and held various senior positions within security, aviation, automotive, maritime, rail, logistics and Arctic industries. So welcome, Tero.
Thank you very much, most kind of you, and happy to be here.
And we're also joined by Jarkko Anttila, CEO of Reactor Space Labs. Jarkko has a space and measurement technology background and has been leading technology teams at Inficon AG and the huge and well-respected VTT Technical Research Centre in Finland. Jarkko co-founded and led Spectral Engines, the smart material sensing company, and is also a deep tech business expert. Hi Jarkko, glad to have you here.
Hello, nice to meet you all and thanks for the invitation.
Welcome both. And my co-host, finally, for this edition of our podcast is Hanna Hoodinen, Senior Advisor at Invest in Finland and the lead for the new space economy sector, helping new space companies to expand into Finland and take advantage of the opportunities there. Hey Hanna, how are you?
Hello Roy, hello Jarkko and Tero.
This is a really big subject matter. Obviously, space is huge. I'm going to try and avoid every sort of cliche that I can about saying that it's infinite or never-ending or whatever, or that this is going to be a stellar podcast and all that sort of stuff. But it's a huge area. So we're going to look to narrow it a little bit down into specific areas of the new space economy. So let's launch straight in. Both ICEI and Reactor Space Labs are transforming the new space businesses, in particular satellite database services. Can you tell us a little bit about what you both do and what are the different challenges your company is solving?
The ICEI story is an amazing story. As you already noted, it started in 2012 and the company started working with its first customers in 2015 and 2016, whereas the first micro SAR satellites were launched in 2018 and we've already launched 10 up to date and we've delivered more than 10,000 images to a worldwide clientele. So the competitive edge comes from the fact that the SAR technology, first of all, sees through clouds and it sees through darkness. But that's nothing new, actually. So there's been SAR images available for decades. But what's new is the fact that with the frequency and with the use of the microSAR satellites, we can provide information of Earth observation to the decision makers from one spot many times per day. So with the old space satellites, you were able perhaps to have one image today and then the next one maybe after four or 10 days. So when the satellites go around the globe 15 times per day, and there are various of those. You can imagine the agility of our deliveries of the data. And the real challenges actually we are solving are versatile. We work with different types of authorities throughout the world. Also, with the natural disasters, we have a great flooding solution where we help insurance companies and authorities around the world in flooding situations to make better decisions. We work with forest industry, we work with maritime, to name a few examples. And obviously, as the name is ICEYE, the initial business idea was using the satellites to observe Arctic areas and the ice developments in the Arctic areas. So environmental work is one of the key areas of ICEYE. When you look how the world develops, you look into the climate change and the fact that there is already more than 10,000 satellites in space, which of around 1,000 or a bit more are used for Earth observation, and there's a lot more to come. So this new space boom, which has started like a couple of years ago, is really of essence also for the assistance in climate change issues, and ICEYE is working on those fronts.
Very interesting, of course. I did wonder where ICEYE, the name, had come from, and now I know. Jarkko, as well, can you tell us a bit about what Reactor Space Labs do and some of the different challenges your company is solving?
Sure. So Reactor Space Lab is in a little bit of a different phase than ICEYE and doing a little bit different thing, but I guess there are many similarities as well going towards the data service. So Reactor Space Lab is a nanosatellite, expert in nanosatellites, building nanosatellites and running the missions, planning and running the missions. But we have been mostly providing satellites to other customers through European Space Agency and haven't had our own constellation so far. But our expertise is really to make really efficient nanosatellites. And we use this standard called CubeSat, which makes it cost efficient to send satellites up, which rotate or give information on whatever you do several times a day with very low cost compared to the old traditional scientific satellites. But currently we are now moving to a new direction. So we are going to actually set up our own constellation around hyperspectral imaging and going towards data service as well. And this is really the new space part of it. So providing information on the globe that helps farmers, governments, and big companies to make decisions on how to improve the agriculture and the ecology on Earth, meaning improving yield, using less sort of chemicals for agriculture, and managing assets in a much better way globally than before. So in a sense, we kind of want to be the number one provider of this kind of green data and the related services in the future.
You mentioned green data, and I would like to talk a little bit more about this big topic we have here today. So Earth observation, which, as you both already described, refers to the use of remote sensing technologies to monitor large areas of land, sea, and atmosphere. And this is a very hot topic and a quickly growing market. And this is also one of the reasons I'm so excited to speak with you today. We've already talked about the ways Earth observation can have very many use cases, bringing very tangible benefits to some industries. If we also look at other potential adopters, which other industries besides the previously mentioned do you think could benefit from Earth observation?
Well, we could speak about the maritime industries and actually the maritime domain as a large potential. It is already actually a SAR data and solution user, but there's a lot of new opportunities. What a SAR image can actually acknowledge from the sea, there are things like oil leakages, so oil spill response is one of the important areas. Another one is prevention of illegal fishing, which unfortunately happens around the globe. So we can detect vessels from a certain maritime area which have not reported themselves into any of the surveillance systems or don't have this so-called AIS, automatic identification system, transmitter on, so trying to like hide. You can see those with the SAR images. Another important area is the mining industry, where, for instance, with different types of solutions, you can have a look into the developments of infrastructures in mining sites. also make estimates of different types of piles and their developments in mining sites, to name a few examples. And obviously, in addition to these ones, there is also great opportunities on like the consumer base in the future. So the ISI future idea actually is that everybody, you and I, could actually have a SAR image to your cell phone just with an application. So we foresee that there's a lot of new opportunities with the help of the like new space approach, where the agility and real quick, speedy delivery, which is only a couple of hours, which is something the old space can do, so can be used in the future for consumers as well.
The whole business has been, I guess, money-wise, revolving much more around GPS and navigation and telecom and stuff like this. So Earth observation has still been quite a small bit if you look at the kind of the financial numbers of the markets. But it is growing, and it's growing in multiple applications. And one thing that is kind of foreseen to have an effect on that growth is having this actually good global network, which is first of all most likely going to be enabled by satellites. And when that is enabled, then people in parts of the world that which don't have good access to mobile phones or like mobile data are suddenly, you know, within the realm being customers for everything that is also produced in space. So that is going to be a big boost in Earth observation market in general.
Maybe moving on to a different type of a topic. So Finland prides itself on ecosystems and genuine collaboration between companies and other organizations. How important is cooperation for your company's success?
Yeah, if we think of the opportunities with different ecosystems, which really do exist, first of all, Business Finland has been an excellent provider of these types of services. So there are several ecosystems organized by Business Finland, where ISI is a member of. In some of the ecosystems, we are in the lead, and in some of them, we are just as partners with some other companies. So, for instance, this already mentioned AI is one of the areas of the ecosystem thinking, where we do have like plus minus 10 Finnish companies participating into the ecosystems, and being like a small country where the space business is a small part of a GDP of a small country, we can gain energy and power from our collaborators within the industry. So we consider at ISI that this is an important area and important part, especially in terms of exporting. Also, when we look into the international collaboration in the space industry, when Europe is in a way in its development phases compared to like the big old space countries or space areas, for instance, like the United States. So we think that the development which has taken place in Finland in terms of the new space is really pioneering. So Finland should be really proud of that, because we have given like full pace of this, and it's really also acknowledged within Europe and also the European Space Agency. So we have a great collaboration also with the universities, and I think that also the Aalto University's space research program has been groundbreaking, and within the past 15 or 20 years, when nobody had heard about things like space in Finland, nobody would ever imagine that there would be a space industry in Finland. It really started from Aalto University, so I would really like to highlight the importance of great research, which then leads to business opportunities.
That's right. I think that the founders of both Reactor Space Lab and ISA are coming from the same group from Aalto University.
That's right, yeah.
And a kind of a funny coincidence is that when I was at that time a team leader at BTT, and we made the main payload for the first Finnish satellite, Aalto 1. So I was also involved actually in that, even though I'm not one of the founders of Reactor Space Lab. But.
Yeah, and it's actually quite small group of people. It's maybe plus minus 20 people who really are the core, and now it's expanded. I mean, Reactor has a lot of people working, and ISI just broke the threshold of 300 employees in Finland. So it's also a significant employer.
Yeah, I'm definitely of the same opinion, and it's a good point that you, Tero, made about this kind of the ecosystem that we have a special position in Finland, because we have not done satellites before, like traditional industrial satellites or governmental satellites, but we are kind of starting from fresh. We have really good technological backbone for making payloads, for very demanding payloads for many scientific missions, for European Space Agency and NASA and all those. But now that we have entered this satellite world, we kind of, as a nation, we look it more from a point of view of a startup, I guess, than like an old industry trying to form into a new shape. And it's interesting. I mean, I see a lot of clashes actually between also like European Space Agency and the kind of the working methods of some big European space companies and like how we would want to do things. So this cooperation definitely towards Europe needs to evolve as well. But I think we are on the right path, and definitely if you think of being employed or being working within the space ecosystem in Finland, it is not going to be a traditional space ecosystem, but it's more going to be an expanding, exciting startup kind of event where this ecosystem is very important. Like in our case, we have VTT as one of the kind of the backbone within the research, and we do a lot of cooperation with them, but also many other companies within the space and non-space industry in Finland. So yeah, it's an exciting area.
Yeah, fully agree. And Business Finland is doing good work also in terms of the collaboration to the European Space Agency and promoting the Finnish industries over there.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's important as well.
So Finland comprehensively updated its national space strategy in 2018, recognizing the disruption in the space sector. And the ambitious goal is to ensure Finland is the world's most attractive and agile business environment for the sector by 2025, and sets up concrete measures to promote the sustainable growth of the space sector and to foster world-leading space research. So you also touched upon this topic a little bit, but I'd like to dig a little bit deeper. So how do you consider Finland as an environment for a new space company?
Well, I think there is already, like, at least to a certain extent, a proven track record, because if you look into the developments for the companies like Reactor, Space Lab, ISAI and some others. So first of all, we've already been able to gain the national funding for the companies. ISAI has secured at the moment the funding of more than $160 million, which of most of is in international funding. So that's already proving that it's like good business environment to develop new space industries.
We are a very inventive and forward going country, and it's acknowledged currently everywhere. And just a couple of days ago, a good sign for this was published when numbers for investments in all European countries for startups were published, and Finland is attracted two times more funding compared to in relation to the GDP than any other country in Europe. So it was like Finland and then all the rest. Even though last year it was quite successful for Finland, it's still a trend. So if you take a 5-year period, Finland is still number one. So actually, compared to the size of the country, Finland attracts most startup funding in the whole Europe. And that kind of tells also about the credibility and the ecosystem that has been created around startups. I mean, all the startups. And from that point of view, I mean, new space economy, as it is a startup kind of area in Finland as well, it is a part of this story. And I'm really glad that there has been a lot of pioneering work in the overall startup scene here in Finland to make this be attractive as a country for both like workers from abroad, but also funding. But on the worker note, I have to say that one thing, again, I said it in other interviews as well, But to make it easier for people to come to Finland from abroad to work for startups, that is something that needs to be improved because we have still like limited amount of population in this country, and we need the best people globally, and we need to make it as easy as possible for them to come to Finland, because it's a great country with great funding opportunities and great technologies.
That's an important note, and these types of technologies really require international skills, and as said, ISAI already has employed more than 300 people from plus 40 nations. So that's an example of this industry being really international.
That actually drives me to my next question. So we tend to look at Finland as a land of engineers who have a lot of passion for problem solving, but there is also more and more know-how for instance, UX and of course gaming and AI and so on. What do you find to be the key competences needed in the new space economy?
First of all, I'd come back to the fact of the importance of research. And research provides good people with great skills who are needed in terms of high skills in engineering. So engineering is one of the keys, and the ISAI satellites are a great example of that. One ISAI satellite weighs 100 kilograms, where a conventional old space satellite with SAR technology weighs 1,000 kilograms. So we've been able to reduce the weight by 90%. And people who are able to come up with such innovations are needed in the industry. So I would highlight the need for engineering. Obviously, programming, understanding the complexities of using IT and different programming in terms of data flows and how you take the most out of a SAR image, that's also of importance as well. So it really comes to the technological know-how and those types of areas.
Yeah, and UX, what you mentioned is also really important, because it is really about how to at the end use the data. Like Tero said, that the data needs to be good. It's still like the difference between many terrestrial applications where you can make a measurement device that is probably not that good. It's not a big investment, so it's okay to try. But if you go to space, you still need to be very sure that you can do what you promise and what you think. So the level of engineering quality needs to be higher than on many other parts. But at the end, one needs to deliver the data to the customer so that the customer need is fulfilled. And a good example of a discussion around this smart agriculture conference that I attended some months ago was that in agri itself, there are many companies offering all kinds of technologies for measuring and asset control and all this. But the main problem was how to deliver this data at the end to the farmers, how to make the farmers utilize it and want it. And I think this UX thinking, and I'm not sure if gamifying can be used or is it an old-fashioned word already, but really to think about the user experience and what people would want to use the thing for, it's of really essence when having a successful application.
You could actually think of the development of smartphones. I mean, who would have understood 15 or 20 years ago that we use smartphones several hours per day? So the idea is that we would use SAR data and the solutions provided by SAR data within the next 5 or 10 years, several hours per day.
Excellent points. Jarkko, you mentioned pioneering Finnish companies. So can you give us some examples you've seen of Finland driving towards excellence in new space economy from outside your own organizations?
There are actually many areas. There are other new companies like Aurora that is coming up. Okay, I'll probably start a little bit earlier in the history. So if we think of that early 2010, we had a lot of test payload work going on then, like X-ray or radiance meters and X-ray detectors, plasma brakes, hyperspectral cameras, SAR satellites, and actually all of those more or less have become something And ISAI has been commercializing the SAR, and the hyperspectral is now on Reactor Space Labs table, but all the others are also like going forward. So there has been development both in the technical, I mean, university level, but also on the startup level. One thing is also that I guess ISAI has paved the way a little bit on, or not a little bit, but a lot on this new space funding and kind of inducing people to think that actually it is possible.
We're not ashamed of being the leader.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we always get compared to ISAI, and that's okay. It's a good reference point. But also like the investors, VCs, that ISAI has attracted, these big global VCs, and that has, I think, woken up the local VCs to think about space opportunities, which was not really evident before because of the high kind of technological risk compared to, the investment size.
And I could top up for this one Finnish company. It was previously called the Space Systems, who really work on the IT side of things and making sure that things which are steered and guided by IT really work. And the interest for that has also gained in on an international level, because there's been a recent joining of ventures, and the system Space Systems is now part of Hult, which is an international company. So that's another example.
Yeah, and also there's a program from kind of European Space Agency for like innovations, which is also helping Finland quite a bit. So there's ESA-BIG is the name of the program, and it's a kind of a startup incubator in a sense. And there is like a handful or something like this companies in it all the time, aiming for space solutions. So they get advice, funding, and networks as well. So that's actually a really good and welcome tool here in Finland.
Oh, indeed, yeah, and ISAI is participating into this Incube program with ESA as well.
What would you say Finland provides to companies looking at international expansion, so UK companies or US companies? What do you see as the benefits for them in looking to expand into Finland?
Well, if you look into the space industry, as described previously, we already have a proven track record that this started actually quite recently, maybe around 10, 15, 20 years ago-ish, from scratch when there was nothing. And now the Finnish new space industry is used as a European reference, and ISAI and Reactor Space Lab and some other companies are often mentioned as interesting cases. So that actually already gives a proven track record of the fact that there is a good technological know-how in this country, as well as to at least to some extent a good investment and environment. But of course, also you look into Finland as a place to live for the employees. So we are the happiest country in the world.
That's important. What about Jarkko? Do you have something to add?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Like, come to Finland to be happy, but it's a little bit it's a double-edged kind of a communication. I think this being happy, because people often think that you have to take away from the performance somehow to be happy. But actually, the interesting thing about Finland is that we perform really well while being happy. That's the key. So we are not like lazy people laying on our porches and drinking pina coladas, but we also work hard. But the work-life balance is at optimum as it can be in many countries. So you can be both really productive and happy, and that's what new space in Finland and the whole startup scheme is about. So if you want to be in a vibrant cooperative environment with good funding and global access and really high quality engineering in data and UX nowadays also from gaming industry, then this is definitely the place to be. So
I love
was that a good ad?
That was a great ad. And
You've both led me to a new slogan, which is Finland, making space a happy place. There you go.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a good one.
USA, exporting happiness into space.
Infinite
that's
happiness.
Great. Oh, perfect.
There we go.
Perfect.
We were waiting for who would be the one saying that.
I saved you.
Thank you. And maybe now we've been talking a lot about Finland, which of course is the theme of this very podcast. But if we to sort of conclude this episode, if we move back to the global scale and to big global challenges, so sustainability is a major, if not the major priority in Finland, as the country is determined to be a world leader in carbon neutrality, zero emissions, and tackling climate challenges. So a question for each of you, how are your organizations approaching this critical area?
Well, I think, first of all, that the microsatellite already addresses this question. So if you compare the old SAR technology, where an old satellite where SAR images were taken from was weighing thousands or thousands of kilos, an ICEYE satellite weighs 100 kilos. So if you think of the emissions coming from, for instance, the launch, they are much, much more reduced because of the fact that it weighs much less. So that's like one approach. And secondly, and importantly, how you can really use the data to address and tackle this issue. We've already explored various case studies and examples where this question can be addressed, looking into helping tackling things like landslides or other environmental things with the use of SAR data. And we work also with the UN Sustainable Development Goals and have identified various of those where we can help. We participated into a UN program where we looked with the SAR images into some of the not so well developed areas in the world and how COVID affected those areas. So that's like another example of the use of SAR data to address these issues.
Yeah, for Reactor Space Lab, this sustainability and climate is actually at the very core of our whole new mission. That's what we want to solve, essentially. How we can help is basically through this better management of ecological assets. If you look at like research, it says that, well, first of all, we need as human beings about 50% more food by about 2050, according to UN. And that is without increasing the agricultural area, while decreasing climate emissions and managing all these kind of new threats like pests and other diseases that is coming with the global warming. So we are tackling all of those. And for example, if you take 16 major crops in the world and would improve their yield so that that they would be at, you know, 95% of their potential, that would actually already solve the 50% of more food needed without any new agricultural land. So they are really big scale objectives, but satellite technology and Earth observation matches well, because we take hyperspectral images daily all around the globe, so we can process and manage and deliver this kind of data for improving agricultural ways of working, but also providing governments the information on what's going on, where are the subsidiaries are subsidizes used in the way that they should. Tero mentioned about this risk management. So also like these abrupt events, which are more and more coming up, like big fires, and estimating the fire routes and trying to, you know, prepare for damages beforehand. So all those things are helping farmers and companies and eventually the whole humankind.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
So guys, thank you so much, Tero and Jaakko, and also my colleague Hannah, for joining us today to talk about new space economy, the differences it makes, the stuff you're talking about, like the predictive nature of like fires or climate change, absolutely outstanding. And I think Finland is very well placed in pioneering work in this sector. And I wish Reactor Space Labs and ISAI all the very best for their future as well. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. And as you said, Finland is making space a happy place.
That's right. Thanks very much. And welcome to join our jolly group.
Lovely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. All the best. Many thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to welcoming you to our other podcast, Looking at the Future with Finland. For more information about business opportunities, research, development and innovation, funding, partnerships and collaborations, please visit our website, www.investinfinland.fi, and follow us, Invest in Finland, on Twitter and LinkedIn.